Who's a winner?
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner this time of year.
Lots of A pluses and lots of Bs and lots of 7 out of 10s for blokes that haven't played much footy, but that's the nature of where we're at, I suppose.
You know what? This played out exactly the way that those in the know said it would pre the draft, yeah, the trade period. Exactly. They said, look, there's not going to be a lot of activity with big name players because there's not a lot of money out there. And a lot of clubs are still trying to work out exactly what the AFL is going to do. The AFLPA is still in negotiation with the game as well. So it did play out that way. I guess you, at the when the dust settles, everybody looks around, and in particular, if you're a fan of a particular club, you're thinking, okay, what have we actually done here?
Let me know whether you're happy.
Yeah, have we filled one of our needs here through this trade period?
Right, we'll do quickly what everyone else has done, right? But we'll give our own take, because I think there's been a lot of mayo put on this when you do your assessments, right?
Yeah.
I said all along, this is nothing more than a trade. This is nothing more than a depth trade. There's a couple of clubs that have done better than that. But for the main, it's backing up and adding a bit of depth to your team. I don't think there's many trades that have been done are going to change things for a footy club. That's my opinion.
No, but mark the clubs based on the competition and what happened during this trade period, what they did compared to the other teams in this trade period.
I haven't gone into that. Like, I look at Adelaide, yep, I think they're going to be better, Adelaide. Jordan Dawson comes in, Jake Kelly goes out, they held on to pick four, so I'll give them a tick. Well done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they've done really well. They've got one of the best players that was going around that got traded during this period. They got him
one
into
of
their
the
club.
Few there that
and he's young still. He's got a lot of time to play the game, and he's been a very consistent performer, finished third in the Swans BNF.
All of a sudden, you've turned into Kel Toomey. Brisbane, they get Darcy Ford in. Nothing goes out. Blah for me. Blah. Just a bit of depth.
Yeah, a little bit of depth, yeah.
Carlton, that's all. Darcy Ford. Good on him. Hope he gets an opportunity, but don't think he's going to win your premiership.
Everyone thinks Carlton's done the best.
Should they have done more Brisbane? That could have been a better question, given where they are in the window.
Well, Carlton have brought in Hewitt in the midfield, who can play.
Yeah.
Really good, solid player.
Yeah.
Chera, who can play. And Young, who can play at AFL level and probably still has some development. And I think on talent that they've brought into their club, they lost Petrescu's seat and they've held on to 25. You'd have to say that they have probably done better than any other club in the competition.
Yeah, no, Chera and Hewitt, Young's just depth. Like this time last year, we were saying how great Carlton were going to be because they got in Sard and Williams. So I think Chera's credentials are well established and George Hewitt's a good citizen. So tick for Carlton. Lipinski comes in, gun midfielder, it was described somewhere. Kruger's backup depth. Lynch goes out. They've got enough points to get Nick Dacos. So well done. Good tick for Collingwood. But Patrick Lipinski, he may move the needle.
Mm. Essendon,
Kelly's a good kid.
No, they wanted, but they not only that he's a good kid, but they actually wanted somebody that could be a lockdown type defender that could play slightly tall, small. He does that.
Yep.
He puts guys away. He shuts them down. So they've gone there, but they weren't able to get. The other thing that they wanted to do was get in a small forward as well, which they weren't able to do. They were looking at Tyson Stengel. Obviously, he chose Geelong, and then they couldn't get the deal done with Bobby Hill. Although that came late. That wasn't a deal that they'd been working on for a long time.
No. And Bobby Hill, from all intents and purposes, looked like he said he was very happy at the Giants until late in the piece. So, yeah, tick, but no, nothing massive.
And you should be able to just swing Bobby Hill back. Like, if he can swing like that one way back to the other way, then it shouldn't be too difficult for them to come to some sort of arrangement with Bobby
Hill. I'm going to get to spin. This is the next part. You're going to spin this as well, which we'll get to Hawthorn in a minute.
Fremantle?
Geelong.
Fremantle first. They got Brody and Clark in.
Where come Fremantle's not on my list? Fremantle. Well, they
lost Chera. They got Brody, Will Brody, and Jordan Clark in.
Well, Will Brody's, that's pure depth. Pure depth. Nothing. That's not moving. That's not changing Fremantle's fortunes.
Clark?
Yet to be proven. So speculative. Given him 4 years, maybe he'll be more settled. But
okay, I'm a bit more bullish on him than you.
Okay,
I think he's better than speculative.
That's good.
That's good. Yep.
So you're happy?
Well, it's not always good that we disagree, but
I can't find Fremantle on my damn list.
Okay, Geelong, Segler, they got in. They lost Clark, Fort, and Kruger.
Yeah, that doesn't change much. Although Johnny Segler's honest, and ruck has been a position that they've struggled with a bit. So, but to me, it doesn't look like that's Johnny Segler's going to win them the premiership.
Hey, what about this on Geelong? I was just reading about this morning. The Cats have four players on their list that have been drafted in the first round.
And one of them, Joel Selwood.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All the way back to Joel Selwood.
And Stephen Wells said that. He said, yeah, we know we're going to have to adjust at some stage, but we still think we're a chance. Everyone else in the footy world thinks you're a bit old, but they keep defying them. Gold Coast, Chole comes in, Brody goes out. I think Chole's good for them, so I give them a tick.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
The big one for me is the Swans. I think this is one. Dawson going out is...
You're going to jump.
I like Laddams coming into Sydney. I think Laddams can play, so I think that might be one that changes things a little
bit. You're not going to go through the order now.
Well, I'm doing it through the paper. Why? I don't know.
Well, you missed the Giants.
I'll get to them.
Well, no, I'm just doing this in order.
What did the Giants do?
Well, the Giants lost Finlayson. They didn't bring anyone in.
No loss.
The Hawks lost Max Lynch. They got in Max Lynch, and they lost O'Brien and Segler.
So this is the interesting one, the Hawks, isn't it? So they're the interesting one.
And they had all those discussions around some of their senior players as well.
Yeah. So let's...
Have they got some work to do now, do you think?
Let's have a listen to the recruiting boss and also their head of footy. So let's start with Mark McKenzie, who was asked on Trade Radio why the club agreed to deal Luke Bruce to the Giants without the player's consent.
No, I don't think it actually got to those points at all. It was GWS approaching the management from there, and obviously we have initial chats from there on. If there's anything that's significant in any of these deals, you go forward. But the main part about this is the player, and we're going to be open and honest if there's any approaches from there, that we just have the open chat from there and get their view. But really, it sort of doesn't go down to all those sort of details. It's the approach from other footy clubs, and if it's significant, we'll have open conversations with the other clubs and the players as well.
Well, why did it go to the fact that they've offered up 24.59 Bruce and a future fourth for 13 and a future third and some pay?
Yeah, because they would have had the conversation and they would have said, okay, what will get this deal done? And they would have said that. And then they would have been working with the player at the same time.
Can I stop there? There's no good doing that. Don't do that, because all that does is makes it blatantly obvious and patently clear to Luke Bruce that Hawthorn want to trade you.
So but he already knows that.
No, no, no. Wouldn't you go to Luke Bruce and say, listen, Luke, the Giants are on the phone. They're interested. Do you want us to take this further? Luke says, nah, I ain't going anywhere.
You got to work on two levels with these things.
Well, that's all. Don't
he knows.
Pee down our back and tell them it's raining then.
Who are you peeing?
Mark.
Who's back you peeing?
Mark, don't tell the Hawthorn, oh, no, we love our players and we're really thrilled they're staying, and then go into the depth of that they have to try and get rid of them. Go to Luke Bruce and say,
you have to do that.
Hey, Luke. We've told you at the start of this, which I'm fine with.
Yep.
Everyone's on the table. Luke goes, yeah, I know, you told me. Okay, we've got the Giants on the phone right now. So do you want us to pursue this? Luke Bruce goes, uh-uh, not at all. Right, and that's what Rob McCartney tells us. We go to the players, they've got the whip hand, they're contracted. We ask them, they say no, and we say we love you, how great it is that you're staying.
No, I agree with all that, but you've got to have that you've got to have that open dialogue and communication with the player.
That's what they said they had from day one.
No, the most important thing about all this is what they've been saying to Luke Bruce all the way through. Now, we don't know that because we haven't heard from Luke Bruce. We're assuming that these conversations have been taking place because their president came out. Their chairman of football, their director of football, Richie Vandenberg, said pretty much in reshaping their list, all these things. Just listen to this for 1 second.
Yes.
What you don't know, you don't know, and I don't know, we don't know what the conversation was that the club has had specifically with each one of those players about whether or not that they were going to have discussions with other clubs about them specifically. That's all we don't know.
No, we do.
Generally, we know that those names have been thrown up, but we don't know what level of conversation took place between club and player.
Yeah. Luke Bruce ain't got any interest in going to the Giants.
No, we know that, but we don't know what the conversation was between Luke Bruce and the club.
But that's what I'm saying. He's not going, Tim. So why do we get
no,
to
he
the
doesn't
detail?
Want to go. He doesn't want to go now.
Chad Wingard doesn't want to go to the Giants.
No, no, he doesn't want to go to the Giants. You don't
but it's
know.
Now
you...
come to light that they're prepared to pay 60% of his wage. That's how much they want to get him out.
Gary, what we don't know is Luke Bruce may have said at some stage, look, I'm prepared to go to another club here in Melbourne, but I don't want to shift interstate. And so when the Giants thing came late, he said, no, no, I don't want to go there. I'm not interested in going there.
Spot on. End of story.
Yeah, exactly.
So how come we've got to the stage where they've gone... End of story. I'm happy with that, right? I can live with that. But now it's come to light that they've said, no, no, we got that far down the path. We know Luke Bruce doesn't want to go interstate, but we got that far down the path. We've got pick 24.59 and a future fourth, and we're prepared to pay some of his salary.
Yeah.
Well, and Luke Bruce turned around and goes, hang on, I told you I'm not going interstate. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to get me out the door? These are the things they're going to have to contend with.
That's right. They've got to re-establish a relationship and a line of communication between club and player.
And Hawthorn supporters are getting salty. Not all of them. So I listened yesterday. There are some who are absolutely, they're getting salty and think it's a personal thing. No, it's not. These are the issues that Sam Mitchell's now going to have to deal with. And if you think that it's all been done beautifully and transparently and they're all happy, then good. I'm happy for you. I don't think that's the case.
Yes. And to that end, he has to win the locker room over, because what we're actually talking about here with those players, they would be, from the outside, the most influential players inside the team as well. So it is a big job for a young, inexperienced coach to be able to navigate his way through this.
And they'll all come back in, and at some stage they'll be challenged, right, as a team and individuals, which happens, right? If you haven't got that environment where you go, oh, we can work through this because everyone's embracing, we're wanted, we feel loved. Mm. If you've got a little crack, the crack will get bigger, Tim. And at some stage, I'm not saying this will definitely happen, but this is what history shows us, that the form of one of these boys will be, you know, not great. And then everyone says, well, no wonder it's not great, because you said you're going to trade him. And then all of a sudden the player will feel like, well, God help me, I'm not getting any support here. And I know they wanted me out. They're going to pay half my salary. So let me just say it's a challenging environment.
And I agree. You're right.
Yeah. Hey, Russell's from Clyde North. Go ahead, Russ.
McCall. Appreciate that. I think Collingwood's done pretty well out of this. But I just want to get your thoughts on Max Lynch. I've seen on social media yesterday a bit of backlash saying that we either shouldn't have got rid of him or we should have got more. But my thoughts are that the guy that we picked up off the rookie draft, he's been on the list for, I think, about 5 years and played 3 games. And those 3 games were Grundy getting injured. I'm not sure we could have got much more for him. And he's not going to get a game unless Grundy gets injured again. So I think the Pies have done the right thing by giving him to Hawthorn to have a shot at his AFL career. Just like your thoughts on that.
Yep, for sure. Max Lynch is a young man who needs time to play, to work out whether he's going to be any good. And that's what happens with young ruckmen. Sometimes they develop at different rates. Great interaction this morning. So keep those messages coming through. It's great. 0433 98 11 16. Some very, very passionate supporters, which we love. We got stuck on Hawthorn.
We did.
Which has happened a fair bit this trade period. So we'll move on. The Demons got Dunstan in. They traded Future up to pick 17. They've had great success with doing that. So good on them. Luke Dunstan's depth, I reckon.
Yep. This time last year, this is worth recapping. You know, somebody sent this in about Tom McDonald. This time last year, they were trying to do everything they could to move him out of the club, but in the end, they couldn't get a deal done. Stays, improves his football, go and plays in a premiership team.
Yep. So there's lots of instances of that.
And it can happen.
They're hoping that happens with Bobby Hill, that what happened with Tom Papley.
Exactly. Exactly.
Melbourne,
North Melbourne, they got Callum Jones in. They lost Tarrant. They've kept their picks.
Most important. I like that. So Jones, the Callum Coleman Jones, I don't think he's going to. Well, he might. He kicked 4 a couple of times. But I like the fact they've kept their pick one is probably the most exciting thing out of all that for the Kangas.
Yeah. Is he. We've seen him play mainly as a forward for Richmond. He wants to play in the ruck, though. He'd be a ruckman, won't he?
Yeah, well, I think it'll be the slow after transition. Goldie. But don't forget they've got Tristan Cherry in there too. They wouldn't trade him out.
That's right. That's right.
Finlayson's in for Port Adelaide. That doesn't mean much for me, to be honest. Laddam's out, but they kept pick 12, so no, they're not got. I don't think they've got better, Port Adelaide. That's my opinion of that.
Richmond got Tarrant in. They lost Chole and Coleman Jones.
Tarrant, and they've
got a nice hand in the draft.
The draft hand
they?
Is what's exciting for that. So
7-15, 26, 28, and even the 38.
So we'll know after the draft 40. For the Tigers. So Robbie Tarrant means they won't get worse with what's his name going?
St Kilda are one of the more fascinating clubs.
Nothing.
No, well, they lost Dunstan, right? They got nothing in.
Mm. Kept the pick
they're nine. They're backing those players that they've taken in the last couple of years to take them to the promised land. Season is going to be a fascinating year for St Kilda.
What else does it tell you? It tells you they're pretty happy with their next generation academy kids.
And they do like those kids as well. Yep. But they're going to be a fascinating watch.
They haven't got better on the back of that.
Swans, they got Laddam Zinn, and I reckon they're the big losers. They've lost Hewitt and also Dawson.
I like Laddam's in.
Yeah, no, I like him in, but I don't like what they've lost.
No, and they came up in the draft order a bit. I think Laddams makes them better. Although Dawson, I think a big man can be more important than another midfielder. Doesn't West Coast getting Petrescu Seaton doesn't make any difference to me.
The Dogs?
O'Brien in, Lipinski and Young out. So is O'Brien better than Young? Probably. Has he been able to do it consistently? No.
Young's not going to be a ruckman, though. I've heard discussion
O'Brien's
around
O'Brien's not going to be a ruckman. O'Brien's going to be, they're going to play him as an intercept defender.
No, I know that, but I'm talking about Young going the other way to Carlton. I mean, there's been a discussion about him being the backup ruckman. I just don't see him as being that ruckman. I'm sure they haven't recruited him to be a ruckman or a backup ruckman at Carlton. They're hoping that he develops more as a key position type player.
I only keep a cursory eye on our text message at the moment. Did I talk over you before? Sometimes Tim and I are going to get animated, okay? And if my voice raises over Tim, I don't do it often. I don't apologise for that. That's just called a good, interested, passionate debate.
Oh, you apologised during the ad break.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Hey, morning, boys. I write this with great frustration. I frequent Keezer in Ocean Grove, and Dwayne the Pipe Russell's also a frequenter.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's with no joy that I attend similar times as Dwayne, as I'm forever having to add weight to the machines that he's just used.
Well, he's going a bit light.
He's going very, very light, according to this person.
Well, he might be in rehab, though. He might be rehabbing.
Please, this says, Mike says, can Dwayne just step up his game in the gym, as my great-great-grandfather and friends were also getting sick of needing to add weights when they get to the machine after he's worked
out. Our producer just came with a zinger. He's a half pipe. Our Dogs have done well with O'Brien and points for Darcy. That's the other stuff you've got to take into account, which we don't always, and that is that young Sam Darcy is going to go to the Western Bulldogs. So how lucky are the teams that can get a good father or son or next generation academy? Do you think that's our last passionate discourse about footy for the year?
No.
What?
No, I enjoy it.
No.
I love an argument like you love it too.
But how else are we going to get fired up now? What are we going to get fired up on now?
We can't argue about kids.
If Hobbsy doesn't get picked up in the top 10, we might crack it.
We'll find something to get fired up about. What about this? This may have come through to the wrong show. Good morning, Vossi. You deserve to go to jail if you support AFL. Steve from Penrith. I reckon that's come through the wrong show.
Probably has.
And this one too. The last word on the journos. Gaz, riddle me this. How is it when a story comes out, the journo being Sam Edmund, saying it's 100% happened in regards to the phone call with Clark and Geelong, Clark hang up, and both parties have said it didn't happen. How's that work? That's from Jed.
Sometimes it's 100% true what the club say, and the journalist has got it wrong. And sometimes the journalist has got 100% right, and the people who are at the other end of the story just don't like it and they deny it. So I don't know which one's correct, but
that's how it works, Jed.
That's how it works, Jed. Adrian Dodoro's been good enough to join us. Essendon list manager. What did they get? An A, a B, a 7 out of 10?
A plus.
An 8 out of 10 in the Herald Sun here. He's been good enough to join us for Sutton Tools. Drill the Aussie way, drill with Sutton Tools. Morning, Adrian.
Morning, Gary. Morning, Tim.
Oh, you got a heart of stone. Bobby Hill was there. He's emotional. He wanted to get to the Bombers. You couldn't get it done.
Yeah, well, these things happen, as you know. When you're contracted, you just can't automatically get the deals done, unfortunately. But with GWS, to their credit, you know, they signed a guy. And when you do sign contracts, you've got to remember that you're bound to them. So, look, feel for the young fella, but he'll have a good year, no doubt.
Yeah, no, I've got the tongue firmly in the cheek, I understand. So, just talk us through. It came to you very late. So, and it was the player or the players group that came to Essendon and not the other way around?
Yeah, a bit like that. I got wind of it probably a couple of weeks ago that there may have been something about to happen, but I didn't take it all that seriously until Friday when Colin Young had said to me that Bobby was definitely on the move to Melbourne, and he met with Collingwood, and then we thought, well, if he's met with Collingwood, then we'll certainly be part of the conversation. And we had a conversation with him, and he said he wanted to come to the Bombers, and that's basically what happened. That was Friday night, and then over the weekend, I had a conversation with Jason on Sunday, but he made it pretty clear that they were really hesitant to do anything. So you have to accept their decision.
Was it always unlikely, Adrian?
Oh, you can't read anyone's mind. You don't know what's going on. Obviously, you're hearing rumours about GWS possibly looking at players like, you know, Wingard, Bruce, or Lobb. So we thought that there was a possibility if they landed a player, and Jason was honest through the whole period as well, that, you know, that they wanted a small forward, and, you know, they've got one on their list. So if they can't get one, why get rid of a player that they've got on their list? So, look, I'm not sure exactly what was going on in their camp, but, yeah, look, it's happened now.
You wanted a small forward too. How disappointed are you in missing out on a small forward during this trade period?
Oh, look, I wouldn't say we're really, really disappointed, but obviously it would have been nice to have got him. You know, like, there's not that many around at the moment. You know, we spoke to Stengel as well. Obviously, Bobby, a couple of other boys that we considered. But, you know, we go to the draft now, and we've got a first-round draft pick. Hopefully we can, you know, find one through the national draft or the rookie draft. So it's an area that we'd like to bolster over the next year or so, for sure.
Is it possible that you'd take a small forward with that first pick you've got in the national draft?
Of the draft pool, don't think so, to be honest. I don't think there's one there that we would take that early. I think there's some other type of players that, you know, it depends what happens on the night, you know, and also all the clubs have got the opportunity to trade picks now up until 15th of November, and we're certainly in the discussion with some clubs at the moment to see whether we can improve our hand.
Michael Gibbons, we spoke to the other day, he's available. Would you have a look at him?
I really haven't thought about Michael at this stage, Gary.
I'll take that as a no. Jake Kelly, Tim, and he's close to us, of course, because of his old man. And he's been a really underrated player at Adelaide. Gets the job done week in, week out. So you must have been pretty happy to get him in without any fuss and really early on in the piece.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Great to get Jake, and Craig's already pledged a huge sponsorship to the Essendon Football Club and is donning Essendon gear and getting Essendon tattoos.
If I can jump in, whilst it's great to get him and his mum, who's a beauty, the problem is you get his dad there as well.
Oh, yeah, but no, he's on board. He's actually joining the cheer squad at Essendon, so we're really looking forward to that in the years to come.
Tim reckons he's got number 32 sorted out too. He's asked for the 32 jumper, really? Is that right?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but... Well, you never know. You never know. But in all seriousness, like, we went into the trade period wanting to, you know, find that medium defender that could play a specific role. So we specifically targeted Jake, and it was great to get him done first minute of trade period. Well, it was the free agency period. We then thought from there we were going to be pretty quiet and wanted to improve our draft hand. And then, you know, things obviously changed with Bobby Hill. But, you know, the strategy that we went into all along was to go to the draft. After last year, where we made a number of changes to our list, it was the right thing to do, we thought. So, but Jake's going to be terrific for us. You know, he's going to add some real steel to our back half.
Adrian, picks can be shuffled. Do you think there's going to be a lot of activity in that area before the national draft?
I think so. I think there'll be some sort of a natural movement because, you know, once you work out how many picks there are in the draft, and obviously there'll be some bidding early in the draft and everyone's doing their calculations, I think that, you know, there might be just a slide of four or five picks here and there that can benefit both parties. I think there will be a little bit of movement for sure.
We move on quickly, but you did such a fantastic job at the draft last year. Zach Reed we didn't see much of, played one game. I mean, have you got a couple there that you're really happy with, but for Essendon fans, they have produced their best for whatever reason yet?
Yeah, look, we're really excited about a number of our younger guys that we've got on the list at the moment. And that was the reason why, you know, we wanted to settle the you know, things down this year at the club. But obviously everyone saw Perkins and Nick Cox, and you know, they showed a little bit last year, and they've got a lot of growth in them. But you're right, Zach Reed's a young bloke who we're really excited about. Played him in Brisbane, and he had glandular fever, missed a bit of footy, came back, looked like getting back in the senior team, and then had a stress fracture, and that's all healed. He's back training fully. Key defender, 202 centimetres. Kicks the ball well, really calm. he's going to be a long-term player for us. We've got another kid actually called Kane Baldwin who we picked up last year in the SSP period. And he'd had a couple of knee reconstructions as a junior, highly touted young man, and got back late, played a couple of games, and a big, powerful key forward, and he'd really excited us as well. So, look, there's a number of boys. There's a lot of natural growth, a lot of those guys, because they're so young, but I think we've got some young talent for sure.
Not yet. We're talking turf toe. Tommy Harley's going to join us in 1 second. Tim's throwing up turf toe as a very, very painful injury.
It is.
How do you know? You haven't had it?
No, I haven't, but I've had gout, and it has been compared to gout, but it's not gout.
Well, gout's a drinking injury.
It's a knuckle. It's your big toe knuckle and the tendon and ligament around that.
Yeah. No, I told you that it's exactly right. And Aaron Sandilands,
Frank, he missed a lot of footy.
Frank from Perth said he had turf. He says turf tie. I think it's turf toe. Put him out for a season.
Do you think it's because of the boots or the way the game's played?
I've never had it, so I don't know. But maybe our next guest, he got through his great footy career. I think he may not have suffered turf toe. He's done a nice job getting Peter Laddams into that footy club. Oh. And you've had an exclusive look at his contract, you Tommy.
I have. He's playing for nothing.
Virtually nothing, minimum. Yep.
He gets 5 yoga sessions a week, though.
He does. Tom Harley, the CEO of the Swans, joins us. Is that right, Tommy?
Morning, Gaz. Is that a question about turf toe gout or Peter Laddams? I've had neither turf toe nor gout.
No.
I'm very pleased to add Peter to the Swans list late last night.
No, is that true, that information that we've received, Tom, that he's going to play for free, but he just wants 5 yoga sessions a week?
It does feel like there's a few extra commodities being thrown around trade period at the moment, but no, he's got a 4-year contract with the Swans, and we think he's going to add significantly to our list build. Key ruckman long-term ruckman are hard to find, and he'll play a complementary role to Tom Hickey in the next little while, and we see him as a long-term player for us for sure.
Look, I think it's a great in, and you've kept your pick at 16. Dawson goes out. Your hands are a little bit tied in the end. I know you thought that he was going to be worth a bit more, but when the suitor is the second pick in the pre-season draft, then it does force your hand a bit.
Yeah, we rated, I think, well, I heard Charlie Gardner's comments yesterday and echo his. We rate him really highly. He's developed exceptionally well under our development for 6 years. He wasn't a free agent. And in the end, we had to do the best thing for the club, and that was the deal, which was Melbourne's future first-round pick, obviously the reigning premiers. But I think once we did that, we moved on and got to work with Port Adelaide, and we're not going to discuss it publicly, but we've got a really clear plan for our list over the next 12, 24 months, the development of the young talent that we've got is a key part to that, and retaining all of that, whilst adding some specific needs. And as I said, we're wrapped to be able to lock in what we think is a 6 to 8 year ruckman in Peter.
How disappointed are you to lose Jordan Dawson and George Stewart during this trade period, Tom?
Yeah, really, really disappointed with Jordan. They're very separate circumstances.
Yep.
George was a restricted free agent. He got an opportunity with Carlton, a good contract, and we had a look at matching that, but chose not to in the end. I guess George has been a great player for us. He's a great person. We think we've got some really good young inside mids coming through to complement Luke Parker and even another year of at least of Josh Kennedy. So very separate circumstances. The Dawson one, we put what we thought was a very compelling offer to him. But he made the decision he wanted to go back to South Australia and nominate the Crows pretty late in the piece. So from that end, huge development into Jordan. He was a big plan of a big part of our future, but ultimately hands tied with the trade in the end.
Back to Peter Laddams and the speculation or the conversation around him is that he wanted to play in the first ruck. You had Tom Hickey playing there this season, who did an unbelievable job. I think he surprised everybody in the footy world with his form. He's still got a bit left in him as well. So what is the plan going forward with Laddams then regarding ruck or forward?
Yeah, I think the age of Peter is the key one. He's 23 years old. Tom was fantastic for us. I've got no doubt we wouldn't have had the amount of wins that we had this year if Tom wasn't playing for us, and he'll continue to be that number one ruckman for us. And I know John Longmire and Charlie Gardner kept Tom across our plans, and they came late. I guess the Jordan Dawson one came late, and therefore the Peter Adams one also came reasonably late. But we see Peter developing with Tom. Peter sees great upside in joining the Swans and working with Dean Cox, who has obviously worked really closely with Tom and our other ruckman as well. So he can play forward. We know that he can play in the ruck, and he played the lead ruck with Port Adelaide a number of times this year when Lysette was out. So complementary role with Tom Hickey in the sort of short to medium term. And then I think longer down the track, he probably slots into that number one ruck role, but it's a couple of years away.
One of our great Swan supporters down here listens and always interested. Pete from Narre Warren wants to know where Sam Reed's at and how he's tracking.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of players out of contract still, and we're just weighing up the list spots. And, you know, we appreciate it's always an uncomfortable time, and Sam's in that bucket at the moment, as is Ben Ronk. And we're seeing now that clubs are obviously delisting players, and so there will be a delisted free agency pool. You know, Sam's been a great player for us. We certainly haven't made a final decision on that. And we've kept Sam across that all the way through. So that'll play out in the next little while, but currently remains uncontracted.
How tight is your salary cap, Tom? Because there are a lot of stories around about how difficult it was for Sydney going through this period of time. Has it all been managed now satisfactorily?
Oh, it's pretty fluid, Tim. And without going into the specifics of it, you know, we've had a long period of sustained success when we played 10 final series in a row and 3 grand finals. And I think I heard it might have been Graham Wright or one of the other experienced list managers that when you're in that period, you're all in. So we were. And now we've got a young list coming through. So our focus is retaining that. So it's the balance of making sure that you've got capacity to do that. But we've got a pretty simple mantra at our footy club is to give our players, when they drafted, an opportunity by the end of their career to play as much finals footy as they possibly can. So that means you use all the levers that you've got. So we're not one to bank a lot of money. We certainly have a short and long-term focus with it.
You've had great success with your academy picks over the last few years. Have you got anyone coming through the academy that might be making a difference in either this year or next?
Yeah, it's been really hard with I guess all junior footy and Sydney this year in particular. The young boys and girls for that matter just didn't play. So look, there are a couple of players there. A young fellow Angus Anderson is a player who has progressed through the Allies. He's been good, and we've got a few others, but probably not at that really pointy end that we have had. You know, if you're talking about sort of Errol Goulden, Braden Campbell, Nick Blakey, Mills Heaney, that type, not this year. And as I said, very difficult to forecast beyond this year because of just the lack of junior footy. But, you know, the academy is extremely important. We invest significantly in it, both time and emotion, and it's important for the growth of the game, both here in Sydney and in Brisbane.
And what about life just in general, Tommy, in Sydney? We see on Monday that things open up and, you know, we're absolutely thrilled and we're hoping to have the same here in Victoria in the next couple of weeks. But from a footy point of view, what's this pre-season going to look like? Will you get back to some degree of normality?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Gaz, and thinking of all the folks down in Melbourne, it's a real spring in everyone's step up here in Sydney as the freedom starts to open up. And most of our players are back. I think that the challenge with players is, I guess, South Australia, West Australia and Queensland at the moment. There seems to be a reasonably strong sentiment between New South Wales and Victoria that we'll be able to travel between the states. So what we won't do with players is expect them to do almost a double quarantine. You know, if for instance, if West Australia is still blocked, we wouldn't expect the players to come back from WA who were there to Sydney for a couple of weeks, then go back to WA and be asked to do 14-day quarantine. So we'll do case by case, but for the most part, we're expecting our players to be back here. And as I said, a number are and a number are training and they're in good shape. And thankfully, I think we've only had one or maybe two very minor post-season surgeries. And so the squad should be fit and healthy for the start of pre-season come late November.